Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Savior Jesus, who was crucified for you, for me, and for the entire world, dear fellow redeemed. The text that we will consider tonight for our Good Friday meditation come from the Gospel of John and from the Gospel of Matthew. First, we'll read from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. These are the last verses from our Gospel reading this evening. After this, knowing that everything had now been finished, and to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine was sitting there. So they put a sponge soaked in sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And then from Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66, this is after Jesus has already died and been buried. On the next day, which was the day after the preparation day, that would be the Sabbath day, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered in the presence of Pilate and said, "Sir, we remembered what that deceiver said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. So give a command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples might steal his body and tell the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' And this last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and posting a guard. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. During the season of Lent, we have been considering the various words, actions, and attitudes in connection with Jesus' suffering and death that might be considered ironic. And we were reminded that irony is defined as a result that is the opposite of what might be expected. A result that is the opposite of what might be expected. Is there irony here on Good Friday? Absolutely. Absolutely there is. There is actually some irony even in the name that we give to this holy day. Good Friday? Really? We call this day good? The day that our Savior, the Son of God, was horrifically and shamefully put to death on a cross? Oh, yes. And you probably know why. We call it Good Friday because we know the reason for his death. That was good. How good? Listen again to Jesus' words from John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. Finished. Completed. A Greek word that when used in regards to paying taxes or paying a debt that was owed means paid in full. What was finished? What was it that was paid in full? All the suffering, all the payment for our sins, all that was needed to be done to earn our full and complete forgiveness was finished. Now and for all time. So on that cross, we see that bitter yet beautiful irony. The fact that the only truly innocent man who ever lived was declared by God the Father to be guilty and was punished for the world's sins. While the guilty, sinners, you and me and everyone who's ever lived, are declared by God to be innocent in his sight. The innocent Son of God suffers hell itself so that we would receive heaven. Thank God for that bitter yet beautiful irony on Good Friday. Yet we also see irony in the words and the events that took place after Jesus' death and burial. In fact, one of the great ironies of Jesus' passion, the accounts of his suffering and death in the last week of his life, one of the great ironies is just how often his enemies said things that turned out to be true. Even though what they meant by them or what they were expecting to happen was the complete opposite. Or at least what they were hoping to happen was the complete opposite result. And this is the case, once again, with our words from our sermon text in Matthew 27, when Jesus' enemies come to Pilate and they say, "Sir, we remembered what that deceiver said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again." Obviously, Jesus' enemies absolutely did not want this outcome. They did not want Jesus to rise from the dead, but was that what they were really worried about? Were they really worried that Jesus was going to rise from the dead? No, not really. Maybe way deep down inside they were, but it appears from their very own words what they were really afraid of was that his disciples would come and try to steal the body away and say that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so they tell Pilate, "Give a command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples might steal his body and tell the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' And this last deception will be worse than the first." Now, was that what the disciples were actually planning? Were they plotting some elaborate scheme to steal the body of Jesus from the tomb? No. If you know the gospel accounts, you know the disciples did not expect this result, Jesus' resurrection from the grave, at all, even though they should have. They should have expected it because Jesus repeatedly told them, "I will suffer, I will die on the cross, and I will rise again on the third day." He says that at least 3 times that we have recorded for us in the gospel, and that's just the times we have recorded for us. He may have said it even more than that to his disciples. They should have known, they should have been expecting this, but they were not. So no, they were not planning some elaborate heist of Jesus' body or a conspiracy of epic proportions. No, they were mired in sadness and despair. They were terrified. They'd locked themselves together in a room because they were afraid that they might meet the same end as Jesus. They might be the next ones who were put to death. They thought that their friend, their teacher, their Savior Jesus was dead and gone forever, for good. And so the one result that his enemies did not want to happen, and the result that the disciples were absolutely not expecting, actually did happen. Jesus rose again, just like he said he would. He rose again and proved that he was who he said he was, the Son of God. He proved by his resurrection that God had accepted Jesus' payment for our sins. And his resurrection guarantees us that sweet promise that we too will rise from our graves on the last day. Hallelujah. So yes, as we commemorate Jesus' death on Good Friday, it is right and good to look past the cross, to look to that empty tomb. You and I know the end of this story, don't we? We don't come to a Good Friday service wondering, how does this play out in the end? I hope Jesus rises from the dead. No, we know. We know the ending to this account, and we know it is truly good. But on Good Friday, we most definitely come here to pause at the cross, to look at that cross, to meditate on it, and consider what was done there. So let's not skip past it. Let's not just skip past the cross, look away, turn away from it because of its ugliness. Let's remember to meditate and embrace the bitter yet beautiful irony we see there. On that cross, we see both law and gospel converge. On that cross, we see very clearly God's law. We see the consequence of sin. We see the seriousness of sin. We see the punishment for sin, our sin. And on that cross, we see the grace and forgiveness of God. On that cross, we see our forgiveness, our victory, and our salvation. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.